Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. People go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the motions of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. How can we possibly take in the wonder of our being? Let's just pause for a moment and do our best, shall we? Let's consider the body with its kajillion moving parts all working together to perform an incalculable number of tasks, most of which we don't understand or even know about. Taking in and processing nourishment, making all sorts of fluids and moving them around as needed. Nerves, muscles, bones in all the right places allow us to do pretty much any and everything we want. Eyes with lids and tear ducts. Ears with which to hear and keep our balance. Taste buds and saliva. It's impossible, isn't it? The list would go on forever and we'd still be no closer to the awe our physical being warrants. And we haven't even started on those mental, emotional, spiritual aspects such as intuition, insight, clarity, realization, and sensing. Today, pause frequently to take in the breathtaking miracle we ignore almost all day, every day, in order to give attention to a repetitive, boring, usually negative, and energy-draining drone in conditioned mind. Record and listen.
That's pretty clear, huh? It's one of those, okay, here's this, choose. Oh, let's see what everybody did, shall we?
Yeah. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. This is Karen in North Carolina.
Hi, Karen.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hey, I'm on speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Thank you. Hearing that read again just brings tears to my eyes, and such gratitude that this physical body I have the opportunity to establish so much intimacy with, and just to be oh my gosh, it's just speechless. I'm speechless.
Yes. You know, when you're saying that. I'm right there with you. So I tend to have a kind of melodramatic allergic reactions to things. And so I've been working outside a lot more than I usually do, and I'm covered with Nocium bites.
Oh.
Covered. And, of course, they just itch like crazy. And I think, isn't that great? Because, you know, I don't spend a lot of time appreciating my ankles. But by golly, they're getting a lot of attention now, right? And part of that is, well, that itching is a drag, but aren't those ankles just amazing what they can do? And then, you know, then just go around the body with that realization that, yes, now it's getting a lot of attention that it doesn't ordinarily get because it's working so perfectly. I'm freed up to attend to all these other things.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And, you know, that bit about when we ignore it, I mean, it, in some ways, it works so perfectly that we don't have to pay attention to it, but yet I'm drawn to bring more of what's going on into my awareness in that place of noticing rather than ignoring.
Yes. And, of course, we've all heard people express this this belief or this, I don't know what it is, but something happens and my body has betrayed me. Have you heard people say that?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because if another relationship were ignored for so long and so thoroughly as the one that most of us have with our bodies, it would not be a surprise that that other person would go somewhere else for some attention.
Oh, my goodness.
And yet, there's such a belief in ownership of the body that it's supposed to be this just dumb, faithful slave that is always there to do my bidding and is happy with no attention whatsoever. And then there's that shock of, maybe I should have been more present with this magnificent thing that is enabling me to experience life.
Yes, and you know, we weren't raised to be that way, to have that relationship with our bodies.
No.
And I'm so grateful that we have this practice that encourages us and brings our attention to what's possible.
Yes, gratefully instead mm-hmm. of resentfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lovingly instead of through irritation. There's this pain. It's not doing this thing that I want it to. I can't. Yeah, well, then we get to show up and do our part of caring and nurturing and understanding and being present with and grateful for.
Yes, and the more that is for me, the more it extends to other human beings who I come in contact
yes.
with.
Mm-hmm. Other human beings and every other form
of life. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All that is.
To want to attend to every expression of life in that same way. So one of the famous Dogen quotes is about the cook should care for the rice the way he or she cares for their own eyesight. Now, yeah, and even that we can ignore until it becomes a problem, right? Not just the rice, but the eyesight.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm fixing my lunch, actually, at this moment.
Oh, yes, very good. I bet it's healthy, nutritious, and beautiful.
It is. It is. A lot of things from the garden. And conditioning said, well, you can't call in while you're fixing your lunch. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
I think I can.
Yes, that's just that small, repetitive, boring conversation. And I'm just filled so with gratitude. And every time I'm with Sangha, just this feeling of fullness and connection. And I thank you for that. I thank life for that.
We thank life for that, don't we? That
yes.
One of the great gifts that we have received is each other.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Karen. Enjoy. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. Bye-bye. Both of you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. And that's really the choice we have, a boring, droning conversation that repeats itself, or being present to the wonder of everything else.
Yes.
Or being present and
everything
and wondering at everything. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to quote somebody, but I think it's a quote that's coming up, so I'm not going to do that. So instead of what the person was looking at as something that would just astonish any ridiculous number of people, just look mm-hmm. at a tomato. If that isn't miracle enough to just stop a person in their tracks. But, yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Paula.
Well, hello, Paula.
Hello. Oh, gosh, I don't know what I'm going to say. Except I at the moment that Karen was talking about this delicious lunch from the garden, I had this sense of how beautiful just to be. I could almost be sitting there having lunch with her, and that just felt really pleasant. And you know, as I was listening this morning, and I did, you know, I do read these every day, usually, of course, the day when they come out,
and you record them, no doubt, and listen to them throughout the day.
I do record them, and I do listen to them at some point during the day, yes.
Very good, very good. Just a little reminder for all of us.
Yeah. And I think what there's also, I keep another little, I don't know, a little inspirational thing on my desk and various places in the house so that, you know, I notice those during the day. And I really, it's just my experience that, you know, it's in order to not fall, what's the word, get hooked in my conditioned mind, it really, for this being anyway, it's incredibly important to be almost, pretty much in continuous meditation, a form of meditation. And that was a bit of, I guess, a koan for me lately. It's like, what is this? What is meditation? And, and when I read this and heard it again this morning, I was reminded of that there is nothing outside of meditation. That it's all everything. Everything, the workings of the physical body and all the the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical aspects of life. Seems that it is really, not that this is, there's an answer to this, but that it can all be accepted, all be experienced, all be in the field of awareness.
And to be with
meditation.
That.
Yes. The true state of meditation. And it, it just arrived, of course, as in at the perfect time to see that. And the other thing I'll share.
If I may, Paul, before you go on to the next point, because that is so big. That clarity is what we're bamboozled out of when we go to conditioned mind for anything. To think about something, to figure out something, to know something, even to capture an awareness. When we turn to conditioned mind and leave the clarity of the moment, we have just left where all that we seek is.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Part two.
Okay. I thought, you know, there's nothing else to say. And I guess I'm going to just circle back around to that experience of listening to Karen talk about preparing her lunch. Delicious, healthy, beautiful from the garden, and that sense of being there, and a trap that that I've noticed in my life recently is that I'm not physically in the presence of Sangha, and therefore there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really questioning that, you know, questioning what is it that if I can't physically be in the presence of Sangha, does that mean that there's something missing? And so the practice has been to, you know, that use the mind for something other than egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. The mind,
yes.
You know,
well,
it's a terrible
and that's
waste on conditioned mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. On yes. So with that, one of the of course we want to get with Sangha as often as we can, right? Because it is an sort of an effortless, very special boost to what we're doing, or a deepening, or a relaxing into that does happen when we are surrounded by folks who are in the same pursuit. And with that process, to realize that you have an experience of being with Sangha. Now, what conditioned mind does with that is say, and now you're not there, therefore you have to experience what I'm telling you is your experience when you're not in physical proximity to Sangha. But when we notice that the only way we realize we're not there is that we are there. So you have an experience right there where you are of being with Sangha. Mm-hmm. And then conditioned mind says, and you're not. So, and it starts the story. But to realize that you had that experience, that same deep connection right there where you were, and that's what triggered the labeling and the story in conditioned mind. And that's how it's working nonstop to pull people into its faux reality away from a direct experience of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we pay attention so that we see, and at first it's a process of, okay, what happened right before that? And it's like a residue of presence that you can actually tap into and begin to prove to yourself that what launched this conversation in conditioned mind is an authentic present moment experience I was having, direct experience of oneness with life, and then that kicked in. And you'll be able to sense what it was that launched the campaign for separation. And once you close in on that, then you start realizing where you experienced that in yourself, and you begin to bring attention there, especially each time there's a story of loss or lack or deprivation or that sort of thing. You just turn your attention to your direct experience of connection.
Yes, and I guess that goes back to the quote of what a wonder it is to have this, be in this human form and have the ability to sense and intuit and use the ability to direct attention to that experience of really being in the presence of, for example, when I called in, to be in the presence of you, Sherry, and Ashwini, and then it's like, yes, I am in the presence of Sangha.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Anyway, thank you for all of
beautiful.
That and for your and
thank you.
Have a beautiful rest of your beautiful season of joy.
Thank you. thank you, Paula.
Yes. Okay. Bye bye for now.
Bye bye. Bye for now. So
thanks,
Ashwini.
Paula.
Before you bring on the next caller, I wanted to say something that dropped in when Paula was talking, or when she just said that about enjoy the seasons of joy. Enjoy the seasons of joy, and to say again for those who do come to the monastery and know the monastery to any degree, don't miss the monastery wall in the next newsletter and see what the people who are here on retreat are doing to the efforts that the mind of meditation in action, just really beautifying and taking such kind, loving care of the monastery property. It's gorgeous and inspiring.
It is indeed. It is indeed. It's amazing what a small group of people who love can do.
I know. It's that Margaret Mead quote, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just always astounds me. I think, well, we have these big projects, and how can we, you know, and still manage to feed everybody and keep the kitchen together and keep the place up and running and tidy and all of that, and then this group of really dedicated, present people comes in and whoosh, transformation. So it's, yeah, anybody who hasn't had the experience, please give yourself that treat. And it, I would say it is. At least it is for me. So that's my projection.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon. Izotta speaking.
Izotta.
Hello?
The phone was not in your bag. You're sneaking up on me.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it was again in my bed because I'm still not feeling quite well, which is so good for the assignment that we are looking at. So it's perfect. It's like
good.
What you were saying about the ankles, right? And, but first, before telling you about what I saw about the assignment, I wanted to tell you that I watched Wonder Woman last night.
Oh! How was it?
And it was really cool, yeah. I don't want to say yet. I'm trying to guess what the sentence was, but the one that you are recorded, but I don't want to spoil it for other people, so...
Yes.
But I was like, oh, who knows? I have an idea what it might be, you know? But,
I'll text it to you.
Oh, please do. But I'm pretty sure I'm not. It has to do with love?
Yes. Love.
How good. But, about the assignment, a part that, one thing that has nothing to do with it is that I didn't know that people traveled in those ages to admire stuff, you know. Like, I was so surprised, you know, that Saint Augustine would talk about tourism, right?
Tourism in the time of Saint Augustine. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So probably something that really is in our mind, like in our way of being human, to just wonder at beautiful things and want to see more, no? And so it's such a shame that the aspect of doing it to ourselves is being like blinded, you know?
Yes. Well, and when you say that, there we are standing looking at some extraordinary bit of nature and not realizing, not taking in as part of that the miraculous, the miracle of the instrument that is able to take that in. Right? We're so identified with the me that is having the experience that we don't realize we couldn't have that experience if it weren't coming through something at easily equally beautiful and extraordinary as whatever it is that we're looking at.
Yes, exactly. It's so strange because it's so strange that really we don't do it. Like, it doesn't come natural. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Or do you think it comes natural? No, it doesn't, because even kids or whomever, we just learn to do amazing things and never wonder at the instrument. So strange. Well, thank God that we have practice, but that makes us do it.
That's right. Now we get to wonder at, and which is probably perfect timing because we now have a relationship with conscious awareness that allows us to do that. So that's good.
Yes. That's fantastic. Yes.
Yes,
it's so beautiful. And, you know, one thing that I noticed is that since I have been having like migraines, and one thing that is super interesting is like really looking at my brain, you know, how it changes. Uh-huh. Like, because usually I have all these thoughts, all this activity, and it's really like a puppy running around. While now it's like a sleepy puppy, you know. And it has its advantages because, you know, I can focus on, I can stay in one thought much longer or a lot. It's really interesting to look at it. And also it gives one so much gratitude for how we normally are when we are normally healthy. And so much awe at how complex the whole thing is, right?
Yes. Yes, and that's another great point that you make, which kind of brings this together. So ordinarily, your head doesn't hurt, right? And so you can do whatever it is that you do and with more and more conscious awareness because you're practicing, right? And then it hurts. It really hurts. And you can be present to that and I don't know, have sympathy for the human being who's experiencing that, appreciation for the how all of that works, a growing understanding, a direct experience of how all of that works. And then when your head doesn't hurt, not just going unconscious and losing sight of the fact that this is really nice. It feels really good when my head doesn't hurt.
Exactly. Yes. It's so fantastic. It's so fantastic, you know, to see everything this way. We are so fortunate. My God.
Yes. Yes. Now, before I let you go, I have one quick question. So here we're in the Seasons of Joy fall. If we were with you, would we be having Seasons of Joy spring?
Yes, and do you know something amazing that is happening? Do you remember that some time ago when I called you, I was so surprised because there was a hummingbird in my urban balcony in the middle of a necropolis. This hummingbird is there right now, and it has been coming back every day at this time.
The hummingbird of presence.
My own personal, yeah. And also this, I was thinking, wow, it's so weird how our brains are so wired to be so odd at nature. I'm like, my God, I have a hummingbird. How amazing, you know? And it just brings me infinite joy. And how cool that the exercise was to use this joy to, oh my God, I have a healthy brain or eyesight or whatever it is that I have, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And a heart that fills with love seeing a little tiny bird.
Exactly. Aren't we blessed? It's so lucky that we have the possibility to experience these things, right? Which is the blessing of the human incarnation, right?
Yes, it is. That's my experience. I think that is so. Yeah. All right. Well, you enjoy your little friend there and take good care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so much. Deep
Thank
gusho.
Thank you, Jota. Gusho to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
gusho.
Thanks, Jota. Feel better. And that is the ultimate wonder, right, Cherry, that life can look at itself and experience itself joyfully.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we see, you know, in spiritual circles, well, especially Eastern spiritual circles, the understanding that this is heaven and this is hell, and the human incarnation is how we experience that and the ability, the possibility of moving from one to the other, which is, to me, what we're always talking about in practice. There is all of this. It's simply a matter of perception. If I'm looking at it, considering it through conditioned mind, it's especially throwing in self-hate, it's often a hell state. And when that perception shifts and we start looking experiencing life from presence, it's obvious that this is heaven.
Hmm. Well, which brings us to the assignment. Of all the self-fulfilling prophecies in our culture, the assumption that aging means decline and poor health is probably the deadliest. In practice,
would you read that again? Would you read that again, Ashwini? You're a little fady for me. It might just be me, but
of all the self-fulfilling prophecies in our culture, the assumption that aging means decline and poor health is probably the deadliest. In practice, we're often reminded that having the life we choose is easy for us, that we know how to do that because that's what we've been doing all along. The expression, how you say it is how it is, makes the same point. The world we live in is the world we see, not because that's how it is, but because that's how we see it. The world is hostile and threatening. The world is kind and generous. Depends on who's looking. Egos will argue endlessly over these types of issues, but the fact remains that we each live in a world of our own making. If you believe you need glasses at 40, if you're certain you're no longer desirable or attractive at 50, if you think you're over the hill at 60, all that will be true for you. Today, as you open to seeing the pernicious nature of ego's opinions and judgments, allow yourself to remember ego's assumptions, beliefs, and predictions are in no way truth. Record and listen.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
Yes, that's right. Take care, everybody. Enjoy, treasure yourself, go happy, all those things.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye.